This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carb Capriato, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Welcome to the 625th episode of Remarkable Results Radio. Employee review. Two dreaded words for both the owner and the employee. But with my guest Brian Kelly's unique approach, it may be something everyone looks forward to. Imagine that. Brian owns Valley Automotive Electric, Covington, Washington, and is also the ASA Northwest President. Brian and I did an episode on hiring practices in February 2021. It was episode 611, and it is the perfect pairing to this episode. In this episode, we dive into a role reversal with employee reviews. Now, should it always be the owner that does the reviews? Are they the ones observing the day-to-day pulse of the business? Well, some are, and some not. What if the employee reviews were done with everyone in the business as a collective group once a week? The culture of your business is dependent on the attitudes of your employees. It's time. Sit back and listen to what your people have to say. You'll be surprised. Hey, we're honored to have NAPA sponsoring this episode. It's no secret we're facing a technician shortage. You've heard me talk about it all the time. And NAPA Auto Care is addressing that. The free two-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician with three ASE certifications. Now, to learn more, members can visit NAPAAutoCare.com and check out the Town Hall Academy, episode 216, that will release in the later part of March 2021. And it's all about apprenticing, and you must do this to ensure your future. Hey, never miss one virtual shop tour we present to you each week. You can catch all episodes on the AftermarketWeekly.com website. And now you can listen to the show right on your Remarkable Results Radio stream. Watch for them and listen to every weekly virtual shop tour. The key talking points for this episode, which make for a great meeting agenda, reside at remarkableresults.biz/E625. And the podcast is free to all, and you can follow on your favorite podcast listening app. Hey, if you don't have one on your smartphone, go to remarkableresults.biz/app. Follow us. Now, let's talk with Brian Kelly. Hey, a warm welcome to Brian Kelly, Valley Automotive, Covington, Washington. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Carm. How are you doing today?
Great, man. This is a follow-up podcast episode, and we promised the listener that after you did a great episode, episode 611, Hiring Practices, it was released in early February 2021, that you were going to come back, because you teased us at the end of that. You says, hey, I got a cool review process that I do based on my hiring principles. And I said, okay, you baited me, reel me in. When are we going to do the review process, the employee review process show? And this is it right now. So thank you for being here and following up on that.
Awesome. And thank you, Carm. You know, hopefully we can bring something out here. And as I say, you know, if you can take one thing away from it, it's a win.
The big takeaway I had from the hiring practices was humble, hungry, and smart. Am I right?
Absolutely. Those are the three.
You know, I'm sure that's probably part of the review process since it's such a big part of your culture.
It absolutely is. And we'll definitely talk about that as well.
Okay, let's jump in it. You know, reviews. I've participated in as an employee. I've given them as a leader or an employer. This could be like as bad as a root canal sometimes.
I think it's bad on both sides. Like you just said, it's tough on the employee. It's tough on the employer. You know, tell me about the why. And this was one of those things where I looked at the processes that we were using and I looked at industry standards and I threw my hands up and I thought, man, there has got to be a better way. And I'm one of those guys who likes to dig, you know, so I'm looking at who does what, how are they doing it? And then I'm figuring out what works for us. And in this case, the one thing that has always bugged me with a corporate review policy is it just violates the nature of what I believe in business. And that is, it's got to be a win for the business and it's got to be a win for the customer, be it internal customer or external customer. And in this case, we're talking about the employees, which are internal customer. And I didn't always feel like the review process was a win for them. I got to say, it bothered me. And so that got me thinking even deeper. You know, why wasn't it a win for them? And what I found and what always kind of sat in my mind was, the review process is really about the company covering its backside. You know, it's really about the company having a reason to fire who they need to fire. It's building an employee, we'll call it database, that says, well, you didn't do this, but you did do this. And now we've got justification to do whatever we need to do. And honestly, it just didn't sit well. So as I dug into this, that was really where my mind went. And the very first thing that came to mind was, is your supervisor really the person who should be doing this?
Well, wait a minute. That is profound. I love that.
That came for me because I've sat there before talking to an employee and I'm thinking, I have no clue other than the goals we set for you, how well you do your job. And output is important, but output at what cost? That was the challenge for me.
I had a leader who lived in another city, and the only way he could determine my work was what he saw me do via emails or projects or even in the quarterly meetings that I would see him at. And I'll never forget the last corporate review that I had. I just kept saying, how could he say that? He doesn't even know. And to your point, sometimes people that delegate big, long arm delegations may not necessarily know the quality of work that's really being done.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I think if you're not around the employee that you're interviewing more often than you're not around them, then you're really not able to do that full review. And I think of that as, you know, and I'll use both of my service advisors for an example, and they work with each other all day long. I can ask either one of them how the other does at any point in time, and you'll get absolute 100% your wisdom about what happens in that position. When they come to me, I go, well, we made these kinds of sales. We hit these numbers. We managed this amount of workflow. What does that really mean? And who carried that load? That was the challenge for me.
I love your point. You could look at the numbers, the KPIs, the benchmarks, but not necessarily see if the culture is being lived up to.
There's one of the key pieces here is, you know, when you talk about the culture of the business, and I think everybody's hired a prima donna. And if you haven't, when you do, you're going to know. When you have that prima donna, their numbers are impeccable. And everything they do, I mean, you're almost afraid to interrupt a prima donna because you don't want to get them out of their workflow. The only problem with that is everybody else is afraid to interrupt them too because they're afraid of how they're going to react. I always, in my mind, I think, you know, here we are. We put this system together that rewards sometimes the worst culture, which then degrades all the other employees because we're not there to tell the difference. And that's a lot of what led me there. And I think the other piece, you know, for us is we always operate under personal improvement. And that was the challenge for me. Now, we all talk about KPIs. We all talk about, you know, building the business, building our employees in that KPI realm. But how do we know we're building them as a person? How do we know we're making them, as I say, better people? Because at the end of the day, the more that your employees know and can do, the more they can do for you. And to me, that's, you know, that continuous development model isn't about just hard skills in the job. It's about the soft skills, the people skills, the personal development. So you don't have an employee that's gone through 3 divorces. And how do you build those personal skills and know that they're actually happening? So that was another chunk that really led to this.
And are you the person responsible for working with them on setting goals, or is it the peer, or is it someone closer to the job?
So for us, you know, that's kind of the beginning of this whole process. You know, we schedule a meeting, you know, so in the case of my shop, I take this part on individually and, you know, it becomes a one-on-one. So our process really starts with a sit-down informal meeting. And my job at that meeting is really just to listen to them. We go out, and I've got a favorite little restaurant that does Thai food. And
wait a minute. I got to stop you. The first meeting starts informally. And I like that because there ends up becoming a conversation and a comfort zone.
Yeah, and my job is to listen. I mean, I say very little. I ask questions, and that's all I ask. How's it going? Tell me about what's happening in the shop. You know, have you had any problems in these last 3-4 months? You know, is there anything that's on your mind? How's your life? You know, what's going on at home? They're probing questions. And all I'm trying to do there is get an idea of where they sit, you know, and how is life? And how is life with business? And that's the premise of us going down and we have lunch. And, you know, we'll do breakfast on occasion. The joke in the shop is if you have breakfast, you're not coming back, you know, so nobody ever wants to hear they're going to breakfast.
That's really funny.
We try and make it really informal. I take them out. We talk. I hand them a goal sheet. And at that point, my piece is, you know, talk to me about 5 years from now. Talk to me about a year from now. Talk to me about tomorrow. What do you see on your horizon? And I'm not talking about just work. I want to know personally, what do you want? And how can we get you there? Because ultimately, better people means better product. And so that's the really the beginning of this whole process is just sit down, have some food, and talk. And if I find I'm talking a lot, then I'm doing something wrong. You know, really be them. I should be doing no more than opening the door with questions.
What's next?
We begin to set the review up. And so we do a lunch meeting every Friday. And this is kind of the, we'll go through books. We have all kinds of things on the list that we do on Fridays, but
this is one-on-one, right, Brian, still?
No, at this point, we're setting up what we call the peer review. This is where the peer review begins. And that's the bulk of the review. There really is in this process, I don't do a one-on-one. The one-on-one is that informal piece because I'm just there to listen in that part because I can't really grade you. You know, we have to come back and now we're going to take and start to talk about the meat. And so Friday lunch comes up and that really begins the process. And it's the ball's in their court at this point. They've been handed that goal sheet, which I talked about. And within that goal sheet, they've got the humble, hungry, smart on that. And they've got their three positive attributes and their three negative attributes. And what they're looking for at this point, this is before our Friday meeting, they're supposed to have this all filled out. We limit it to, they tell us their best three things about them and they tell us their worst three things. And I've had employees go, well, I've got more than three. Well, give me your top three because that's all we want to talk about.
And this is in public. So everyone is professing their three strengths, their three weaknesses, talking about their goals. So you close the shop. What do you do?
Yeah, every Friday. We've got an hour long lunch every Friday. Everything shuts down. So this just fills that spot. They have to go to the drawing board. They come up with, you know, the three best, the three worst, and then the humble, hungry, smart. They're supposed to come to us with this information. Now, I will say one thing right off the bat. If you don't have the groundwork of trust with your employees, this process will probably absolutely burn out and fail. Something will go tragically wrong. There has to be trust amongst the employees. There has to be trust within management. And there has to be trust that interlines both of those for this to work.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Brian reveals how the grumpiest person in his business made a complete turnaround with this unique approach to reviews. Hey, it's Carm here. Today, I have a special message for Napa Auto Care Centers who are looking to take the next step in growing their business and partnership. Now, if you're ready to strive and take it to the next level, Napa invites you to consider Gold Certification. Gold Certification is a premier tier of Napa Auto Care that recognizes repair shops with a higher level of participation in the Auto Care program. The program was built by Auto Care Centers for Auto Care Centers to provide a consistent consumer experience, maximize technology leverage, and reward Napa's most committed partners. When consumers visit a Gold Certified Auto Care Center, whether it's a small facility in a rural community or a multi-bay shop in a large metropolitan area, they can expect a first-class service repair experience. This includes a well-trained staff using today's technology and quality Napa parts in a comfortable, up-to-date facility. Customers at gold-certified shops will also enjoy an extended parts and labor warranty, valuable saving opportunities, along with access to credit to pay for needed repairs, and a whole lot more. Here's what you need to qualify for the program. First, you need to be an active auto care partner for at least 12 months and have a steady business presence in your market for at least 2 years. Then to become gold certified, it's necessary to meet specific requirements, chosen because they create the most consistent consumer experience and proven to generate the most significant results for auto care centers across the country. Some of these include using digital vehicle inspection, having at least one ASE Master Certified Technician, a co-branded exterior, and offer consumer financing through Napa Easy Pay. You must also be an active member of a business development group. Once your shop achieves gold certification, you'll receive a number of benefits, including priority placement on NAPA's shop locator pages, an allowance for marketing funds, 3636 peace of mind and local labor coverage, access to auto tech training, NAPATRAX shop management system, smart sign digital menu board, and more. Talk with your servicing NAPA store to find out everything you need to know about becoming a gold certified shop. What happens where there's a new person joining the team, and here it comes for this particular Friday meeting, and they're going through this for the first time? Do you notice them kind of BSing this, and what is, you know, I can't believe it? And then they watch everyone else, a player, and it almost like elevates them into the culture of the business because they know how serious it is.
I work really hard to make sure a new person doesn't come into this without seeing one, because I don't want them to get blindsided by it. You know, in fact, we have a 90-day review coming up right now, and we're actually moving one of the employees up about 3 weeks ahead of when it normally would be, because we do this twice a year. So we're moving her up about 3 weeks to do it before the new employee, you know, just to make sure, because if you don't see it, there could be a lot of fear walking into this. You know, there's no doubt about that. I don't want the fear. I want them to do it and pull it off. So from that point, once they have their stuff dialed in, they're going to come in. We're going to sit down. We're going to get our food going. I'm just going to open it up and say, okay, guys, so here we are. We all know what's happening. And then I turn it over to the employee. And really, I sit down. And the employee begins to walk us through. First, their top three. You know, what are the things that speak about them? You know, I had employees say that, I am the hardest worker. I will do anything to get the job done. Okay. You know, and as they walk through each one of those, they go through their three, then they do their three negatives. And at that point, they really, nobody gets to respond. We can ask clarifying questions, but that's it. No other responses other than just, can you clarify what you said?
You don't prejudge at all whatever they feel their negatives are. Okay.
Yeah, negatives or positives, it's clarifying questions only. They give us those, and then they go up and they take the humble, hungry, smart. The humble, they rate themselves 1 to 3. Hungry, they rate themselves 1 to 3. And then smart, you know, and again, remember, it's not about being smart. It's about being people smart. They rate themselves 1 to 3. And the reason we picked 1 to 3 is it's very simple. You're either above, you meet, or you don't. And it doesn't give you any wiggle room.
Is there a peer review on?
That's coming next.
To me, you can't manage to the gap if you can't discover it.
Once they've gone ahead and they've given us their side, we call it, you sit on your hands, you put your hands behind your back, and they're not allowed to, the employee's not allowed to say another word at this point. They too can now ask clarifying questions. Some of the more veteran in the staff, they call it the roast, because now everybody gets their turn. And I'll tell you, of all the times we've done it, every employee, you know, and there's three things that I see. I'll see one where the employee is nervous. The employee doesn't open up. And I know there's a trust issue. So we can go deal with that afterward. I'll see the other where it's very superficial and they don't ever attack any of the areas. But what I'll see from my group is the group will go after those areas. But when I see that and the group doesn't go after the areas, again, I know there's trust. So what happens there is more than just about the content. It's about how it happens. And the best one I've ever seen, my lead technician, my foreman, he's known to be the grumpiest guy in the shop, or I should say at the time was known to be the grumpiest guy in the shop on his bad days, but everybody still loved him. And he goes through his positives, he goes through his negatives, and he sits down. And I think everybody on the team unloaded on him. And I was almost to the point I was getting a little nervous because I thought I might have to shut it down. But I didn't see body language that scared me. And I thought, okay, let's let it roll. You know, he's a big boy. He's made this bed, and every one of them came after him for attitude. Everyone came after him for bringing people down. You know, they all told him how much they loved him. But they said, your attitude stinks and you need to fix it. And I don't think anybody didn't take a turn jumping on him.
Has it been a recurring theme?
It had been for him, but honestly, I wouldn't see it.
You wouldn't see it, but say the last quarter, the same theme, this quarter, the same theme. It's almost like you got to fix the problem somehow.
Well, this was the first time it'd come up in the 360. And I mean, that's what I say. Everybody unloaded on him. And he left that meeting, you know, and he really didn't say a lot. And I thought, oh man, this, you know, we're going to have to go clean this one up because, you know, hopefully he's still with me here. And, you know, over the next week, we saw a completely different person come into the shop.
You just said something. Hopefully he's still with me here. Yet, no disrespect intended in this podcast, yet he was pulling down the team. And with the strong culture that you have, you were still worried, but probably felt that he could recover.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that was the piece. He needed to hear it. And the culture that we bring, he was bringing it down, but his ability and his, even though he brought it down, believe it or not, he was more up than down. It was those times when he was down that he took everybody else down. And a lot of us can fall into that trap. But what I can tell you is when he heard how he did it and he understood what it did to everybody else, he took it to heart. He went home with it. He sat on it for the better part of a week and just kind of peeled the layers back. And came back into the shop, and you know, I went out not long ago, and I said, "Hey, has anybody had any?" Everybody goes, "Oh, God. Ever since that, we've had no issues. He's a rock star, you know." And so it's one of those things where when you see it go bad, sometimes it goes bad for good reason. And I just think of him coming out of that and being completely different. But to get back into the process here, when we get into the Humble, Hungry, Smart, it's really interesting to watch how the team will often grade you higher than you grade yourself. They will give you sometimes the benefit, or if they think you're completely off base, they'll look up and say, "Yeah, okay, you're giving us a line here. You know, you and I both know you're a one. You know, you are the least humble person we've ever met." "Oh yeah, I suppose you're right." When it's a supervisor doing it, you feel beholden. But when it's your teammates doing it, all of a sudden it matters more. I have to go back again and just talk about trust, but you know, the trust has to be there for this to work. And if the trust isn't there, you'll know. You know, there's absolutely no question as to what happens there. In a nutshell, that's really how it happens.
Talk about building a cohesive team that knows your strengths, know your weaknesses, know the gap, willing to call you out on this, willing to praise you because you're so good at that. I love the attitude adjustment thing. We did an episode with Carl Hutchinson, shop owner, who went through an unbelievable metamorphosis. It was episode 613. We called it Discover the Hard Truths, Fix Your Attitude. So I would just encourage people to listen to Carl, become extremely humble and transparent in how that attitudes can be fixed, Brian. I mean, the beauty of it is you got to be willing and wanting to do it, especially when Carl realized it was affecting the 360 of his world. To do it as an owner, as a shop owner, individually on your own, tough to do, but you know, to have your team expect is, "Listen, you're right, I'm going to fix this thing." And when you profess that, now you've got accountability partners in the game.
The thing I always do too is before we open our season up, you know, because it kind of rotates in, we do it twice a year. So each series that we go into, I'm always the first one on the stick. I'm always that first guy to get in and do it, because you're the leader. You have to know, what's your review look like? Are you doing your job? And if the trust level's there, you know, trust me, they are not afraid to tell me what I've done wrong.
So you're included in the entire process. Was it ever extremely painful in any one of these?
Oh yeah, you know, because the reality is they're going to call you out. You know, and they should. If they don't have the ability to call you out, then the trust isn't there that it should be. It's just critical. You know, they've talked to me about, "Hey, it's looked like you have been distracted. The things that we needed from you," and they'll lay them out for me. You know, "These are the things that you have said you are going to do for us." And when you realize you didn't meet that, it's pretty sobering. You go back and go, "Okay, well, you know, I am the guy in charge. And if I said I was going to do this, I better make sure I go do it." You know, so it's critical.
The reality is they know.
They always know. There is no middle ground for that. They know whether they've told you or not, they know. So the best thing you can ever do is hear it firsthand. And then, you know, you're just taking your notes. It's, you know, literally taking notes. And afterwards, you may go back and have a conversation and say, "Hey, you know what? I didn't realize I let you down." You know, and there's a chance to build that bridge again, too.
One of my big learning curves on the they know front was finally letting an individual go. You know, we're going back a lot of years now when I had my own 60 employees and I finally had it and let that person go. And, you know, the leadership team came up to me and said, "About time, boss." We were all debating who was going to come in and tell you, thank God you stepped to the plate. And, you know, and another thing was when in another individual case, someone came up to me and said, "It's him or us." You know, there's my leadership team sitting in front of me saying, it's him or us. They know.
Oh, yeah. They always know.
What I love about your review process is that it's as open and transparent and honest. And again, go back to the trustworthy thing than you could ever have. There's no secrets, if you will. Oh my God, you know, Brian's back in the room with Emily. You know, when she comes out, we'll see how she looks, how she's walking, body language as to how bad it was. This is open.
And I think having that full spectrum and sight for the whole process is critical. And if you don't have that, nobody knows where it's going. The biggest issue I see with it is when no one talks. And that's the hardest part with the process, is that when nobody talks, I immediately know there's a problem. The number one takeaway is when they're quiet, you better figure out why.
Inside this group meeting, when someone's quiet?
You know, when it comes time for us to give our input on the three positives, three negatives, if nobody's talking, I'm immediately giant red flag. Oh boy, what's really going on here?
A universal flag, yeah.
It's only happened a couple times. And usually I found out that player is, there's something going on, either with their professional side or their personal side. And we can always fix the professional side. The personal side, you know, that one's a little tougher. You know, and hopefully that's what that first meeting is about, is I hopefully dig that out before we get into where the teammates are taking their turn. You know, you want to know about that personal issue before you get there, because if you didn't know about it already, chances are it's going to show itself. You know, and I don't think you can have a team without trust.
Thanks so much for bringing this to us. I'm going to encourage our listener, you, to look at this thing. Look at the show notes on this page. We'll lay this all up. And, you know, if ever you need to get in touch with Brian and say, hey, you know, give me more of the process, I'm sure you'd be more than willing to take an email from someone.
Oh, any day. More than happy. ASA Northwest, it'd be pretty hard to not find me. So.
Yeah, I know. President of ASA Northwest, Valley Automotive, Covington, Washington. Great contributor to the show, Brian Kelly. Thanks so much, man.
Well, Carm, it is always a pleasure, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.